welcome to Voices of Freedom.
Love Radio.
All right, this is a relatively important message this morning, and I hope they all are. But there's something about people driving by a church and saying, what in the world's going on in there, you know, or those religious fanatics, and there are some fanatics out there, and, you know, there's some cultish type things, but why is it, for the most part, you know, with all of us being friends with each other and all of us being relatively educated people or similarly, if that's a word, educated, why is it that not everybody's so crazy about Jesus? Now, first of all, it says in the Bible that many are called, but few are chosen. So it says that the call's going out, you know. I wonder sometimes, and I read in a couple places, that the reason that the church is still here and we haven't been taken out of here, what we call raptured or taken away to a place called heaven like Jesus promised, is because the church isn't doing a good enough job of getting that word out there. So I don't know, but I was studying and I was looking at a few things yesterday, and I think it's worth noting today that we're sort of blinded by some things in life today, and it's really kind of scary because we do it in the name of we're protecting our family or we're going to get a good job, so we got to study hard and work hard and, you know, and all those things are allowable. I mean, God wants us to be working hard, you know. He wants us to do our best. If we have a job, he wants us to perform at the highest, best level that we can perform at. So all those things are good things. But what's the deal? I mean, what's going on? What is it that's blocking us in the world? It's taking our mind off of the things it should be. Well, some of it could be our technology, because we're on our phones all the time. We're always looking at the most up-to-date news cycle. You know, we've got this going on, that. I mean, we've got everything in the world going on except the business of Jesus. And you want to see some older people get fired up? You go to church and pull your phone out during church, and some of the older people will lose their minds. Is that necessary? Well, there's a big part of it that I believe is probably necessary. And why? Because it's a special time. Church is a special place. Was never seen in history, okay? In the Old Testament, I don't care how much you study, how much you look, you're not going to see any place in the Old Testament, okay? No place in the Old Testament where it says, hey, there's going to be a church when Jesus comes, okay? It's just not there. But I was studying a little bit, as I said yesterday, and Revelation 18 is a good place to check out some of this stuff. We all grow up hearing things like the Nike thing, just do it. We all grow up listening to the Army slogan of be all you can be. And our parents are telling us, learn all we can, get as strong as you can for sports, and do all this for that. And, you know, we're going through all these things. And on this back burner is when we get time, we're going to stop in over here to church and see what the church is doing. Well, guess what? Jesus Christ set this church up to have a special relationship with everyone who would become a member of the church, because to become a member of a church is to become part of the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ being Jesus, being the groom has gone to prepare a place for us. And it talks about that in John chapter 14. So all these cool things are going on. God is still working, and he's still got things going on. And people say, well, he told the disciples he was coming back quickly. Well, in Jesus' time frame, it says that one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is in one day for us. So a day for you and me in God's plan is the same as 1,000 years. So as God has looked at the time since Jesus left this earth, he's talking about a little over two days. Follow me? So when I look at this, I can go back to where the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness when Jesus had fasted for 40 days, and the devil came to him. One of the things that the devil promised Jesus, he said, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. So what are we talking about here? Well, guess what? There is an evilness about all the kingdoms of the world, because everybody is flowing off of greed and arrogance and ambition. Everybody wants the power. And I see where Donald Trump has brought up term limits. It's a no-brainer. I mean, it should be done. But how in the world are you going to control a multi-million dollar business being political PACs and given and the power of all this and the corruption? How in the world do you think you're going to control that when they have to vote on it and live by it themselves? Isn't that amazing? But it's true. All right. So tell me something here. Well, let's back up here. It looks like 17 is going to have. It talks about in Revelation 17 how the doom of Babylon the Great is going to be fallen. Now, is it a spiritual, is it a real city? Will it really be back there in Babylon or Iraq? Will it really take place, you know, as a physical place? You know, I don't know if it's a symbol of the decadence and the debauchery and the, you know, I don't know if it's a, if it's just a symbol of the way we've come to live and the perversions and the things that we see on the internet. You know, I don't know if that's the system that they're talking about here, okay? But here's the deal, okay? The whole world has committed fornications, and the inhabitants of the world have drunk of the wine of her fornication. So the world system that the devil promised to Jesus Christ, the devil has corrupted more and more every single day since the beginning of this. And it's worse and worse all the time. It's not a day goes by that somebody says, Lunsford, you're a preacher. What are you trying to do running for office? They're going to eat you alive. And they may do it. But here's the reason, okay, is because all of God's people are supposed to go out with the message of the gospel. And I think that there may be just a little sliver of opportunity to get out and talk to people about Jesus, and those people may respond. You see where we're going with this thing? Those people may respond. So that's what this is all about. Is it about getting a job for 60 days? You know, no. Is it about the aggravation of half the people being mad at me half the time or all the time? Not really, you know. So when we stop and look around here at the problems of the world and the corruption that's in the world, can't we easily trace it? Can't we see that it is what it is? You know, I mean, you say, well, you see it because you're a Jesus fanatic. Well, not really. I see it because I've got my pages open to Revelation chapter 17 and 18, and I'm reading it. So if I didn't believe Jesus yet and I hadn't surrendered to Jesus and I wasn't saved yet, guess what? I'd still be reading this, and I'd still be able to see that, guess what? You know, wow, I can read that plain and simple, okay? So this harlot system that is going on right now will be destroyed by 10 kings here during this tribulation period. So even though they've enjoyed it and they've taken advantage of it, these 10 kings are going to destroy this city, this concept, this whatever you want to call it, okay? Because guess what? In the end, if three can keep a secret if two of them are dead. That's an old mafia code, I think I heard in a movie one time, okay? See, so for us to be believers, we've got to separate from the harlot system, okay? Because if we don't, we're going to receive that same judgment. We're going to be in there on that same situation, and we're not interested in that. Now, let's go on here just a little bit further. So now I've got 10 kingdoms, okay? Is it 10 kingdoms of all time? I don't know. But what it talked about in the notes that I was reading was it's the military might today. It's that military might, okay, that conquers things. Rationaling things out or going to, what do they call that? Mediation. Mediating things, I don't go but so far. It's the fighting, killing, the war machines, the technology. Those are the things that people want to see brought brought in. Okay? Now, what's it going to be like when these things end? Okay? Well, it starts talking about it in Revelation 18, starting about verse 9. It said, "And the kings of the earth who have committed fornications and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning." The destruction is coming for all this, all those trying to accumulate great wealth in this world. It's coming to an end because it says in verse 10, "Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour thy judgment has come." Wouldn't it be amazing to spend your whole life trying to accumulate, 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 and then in the space of 1 hour, everything comes to nothing? See, this is bad, but there's still something worse. For the person who dies without recognizing Jesus, who has died without surrendering to Jesus Christ, I tell you what, we've got problems right there. You see where we're going with it? Because in the space of 1 hour, everything that these people thought was important is going to fall by the wayside. Who are these people? They're the kings of the earth. They're the positions of power. They've got it all. And those that have it all realize, you know, as far as the world thinks, and even us, you know, we'd be impressed with the wealth and the accumulation. But in 1 hour, it comes to nothing. So let's go down a little further. And it says, "The merchants of the earth shall weep and wail." Why would the merchants weep and wail? Well, listen, the very last part of business to go is going to be the person who's buying and selling goods, okay? Why is he the last person to go? Well, guess what? Okay, they're made rich by buying and selling. They have the ships to go and to do. You know, they're selling food. We sort of got to have that every day, right? But they now, if you look at verse 15 in Revelation 18, they are standing afar off for fear of torment. They're weeping and they're wailing. They were made rich by this system, this world system of greed and arrogance and all the problems of the world. And now they say, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold, precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught." Wow. "And every shipmaster and all the companies and ships and sailors and as many as trade by the sea stood by far off. And they cried when they saw the smoke and the burning, where the city is likened unto a great city. And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing." But then verse 20 comes and it says, "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets of God, have avenged her on you." So see, all the people that take advantage of God's people, all the people that are against the things of God, see, God at last. See, we look sometimes as Christians and we say, well, it's just not fair what everybody else has and we don't have this. And it's just not fair that this person's, you know, lives in a $1 million house and has a $100,000 car, you know, whatever. I mean, it really shouldn't matter to us too much now, but let's be honest. We all like to have nice things, but here it is. God hath avenged you on her. All the times you're mistreated for loving Jesus and you're mistreated because you pulled out of the world and you didn't take that promotion because you cared more about your family and you didn't skip church every Sunday because you were more interested in learning about Jesus and you didn't do, you know, you stayed with Jesus, you separated out from the world. The world could tell you were different. The world could tell you were interested in Jesus. Guess what? Rejoice over her, thou, O heaven, right? And ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. See, and a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. see all the impurities. These people were running so fast at destruction. But it's going to come to pass. It's going to end. It's going to be nothing at some point. You see where we're going with it? It's going to be nothing. We're going to get to a point in this thing when it's all, and it's going to be tribulation period, so it won't matter to the Christian, right? But here's the way it is, you know. We've got to get a little bit wiser about our dealings. We've got to look at this thing called the Bible. We've got to say, what does God want me to get out of it? Well, he wants me to get enough information out of it to be able to make a decision about him and to have a personal relationship with him. Now, based on all that, I should be able to figure out a little something about Jesus, you see. But our problem is we don't really want to know too much, right? We're really not too interested in what Jesus has for us because we're thinking that we could get that anytime we want. Well, I got a little bit of a problem with that, because at the end of the day, you're not going to get everything that you want. Because what God's master plan is to have you for himself and have a relationship with you. And if you've got every gadget, if you've got every kind of camper and every kind of go equipment, and you're involved in everything in the world, and God has taken you away, or not God has taken you away, but the world has taken you away from God, we've got to get back to Jesus. Now, does that mean dropping everything and coming to church? Well, listen, here's my thing that's kind of popping up on me on the going to church thing. It's great that you go, but let me explain something to you. Jesus is an everyday God. You see, in the Old Testament, it was work 6 days, rest on the Sabbath day, in order that you would show Jesus, or kind of copy what God did when he created the earth in 6 days, right? Well, since Jesus has come, our worship is a little bit different, because I can talk to Jesus. I can study this Bible, because since 1450, I've got a copy of the Bible, so I know exactly what God wants me to know. So there's a little bit more leniency about being at the temple all the time or being at the church all the time, because guess what? If I'm just relying on one day a week for Jesus, I'm probably not doing much anyway. So the plan to me, the thought I would have, is that you study a little bit on this Bible every day. You read just a little bit about Jesus every day. I was sitting there last night before church started, or maybe as we were getting started, and I was just looking at just a few verses in the Bible and just some of the doctrinal footnotes, excuse me, to explain some of these things. And it's amazing. I mean, I kind of thought I knew the Bible, and you know, I've been through it several times, and we get lazy after we've been through it several times because, you know, you kind of think you know it. But there's so much that you really have to pay attention. You really have to get into a position here where you're systematically studying it. And that's a lot of what this morning thing will do for me, you see. That's a lot of what the morning program does for me. So think on that a little bit. Now, as we think about going forward and how it's going to be here with Jesus, we have to start to realize that Jesus does have a master plan for your life. That's the other reason that coming to Jesus as soon as you can get to him, it's safer because we don't know how many days we're guaranteed to have. But there's also more to this thing, you know. The more to this thing is the idea that if we get to Jesus, Jesus is going to have a better plan than we have for our lives. Now, it's not a materialistic plan necessarily. And I'm not saying that Jesus is against you having a lot of money or having a good job. I don't think that at all. But I think when we crave money, and I was that kid, you know, I grew up, that was my goal, was to make money, you see. So my goal had to change when I got saved, you know. And it was changing anyway. God wasn't going to give me the things that I wanted. Now, has he provided in a major way? Absolutely. God has done marvelous things for me, put me in position to do some things for him. And we hope that every morning this program is a blessing and people listen and it goes out and people get saved, you know. That's what we want for this program. It's to keep me accountable and make me study a little bit. That's good. But the biggest and the best part of what it's doing for me is it's allowing me the opportunity to study, but it's allowing me the opportunity to do what Jesus said to do, which is to tell people about Jesus Christ. You see, that's the thing. That's the master plan for Jesus, for me, for Jesus. See, I have to have a mission. I have to have things I do. Getting the word of God outside the church house doors, that's a major thing that I need to do. We need to be working on that together. Every single one of us need to do that, because right now people drive by the church, they think, what are them crazy people doing there? They're there every Sunday and every Wednesday. Well, guess what? There's a reason that we do come together, and you'll want to do it too if you start reading and studying that Bible a little bit at the house, because you're going to realize that Jesus Christ, see, Jesus Christ is worthy to be praised. And it's kind of hard. I can sit here and I can praise him and I can thank God and, you know, I can tell him how great thou art. I can tell him that thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I can say thou who is in the holiest of holy places in heaven. I could roll over there in Revelation, see where the four beasts guarding the throne 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, are saying holy, holy, holy. So I can praise God by myself. But if I praise God with 5 or 10 or 20 around, now something's happening, you see. Now people start to see some excitement. Now the Holy Spirit that's in them feels a little bolder and a little stronger. Now, the Spirit will always be willing. But the Bible said the flesh is weak, because the flesh has got to be motivated. There's got to be something to make you pick up the Bible. There's got to be something. And that first time will be a hard time, because that first time will be from standing zero. You see what I'm saying? It'll be from the bottom, you see. So there's that. But it's very possible to be able to get these things done, right? Now, what's next? Well, I've heard about the world. I should be able to get a visual on it. I should see how the world's doing, kids. I should see how schools, you know, schools, what are schools doing wrong? Listen, lots of crazy in the schools. There's no way to discipline in the schools. That's why you're getting all this homeschool stuff and all these different things, you see. There's a lot going on out there. Even if you don't even think you know, we're like the iceberg. We're just seeing the tip of it right now. So, folks, I'm asking you, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you to get in your Bible. Read John chapter 14 first. If you haven't picked up the Bible in a while, read John chapter 14. Because whatever you're worrying about today, whatever's going on in your life today, Jesus Christ can solve that problem. Because he says, let not your heart be troubled. Let me translate. Don't worry about anything, Jesus says, if. Because the next line says, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Folks, that ought to get us so excited we can't see straight. And why is it such an exciting thing? You see, it's exciting because Jesus Christ has this master plan for you and me. You follow me? He's got the master plan for you and me. That's what we're after, you see. That's the master plan. So I'm begging and pleading with you that, listen, if we're going to do anything for Jesus Christ, we better slow it down and get it done now. Why? Because with Jesus, his plan's better than our plan. With Jesus, I don't know how long he's going to let any of us stay on this earth. So we've got to do a better job. We've got to do the things that Jesus wants us to do. Listen, God's got the master plan figured out. Now, what can we do about it? Well, what we can do is do our part. So are you ready to do your part? What will we do? Will we just sit by the wayside? See, we've got a lot to be thankful for. We've got a lot of things that are going on out there. I'm hoping and praying that we can get this done before it's too late. I'm hoping and praying that we can be what Jesus wants us to be. See, we've got problems on every side right now. But I know we can work it out if we get to Jesus. We could prolong the days. More people could get saved. Your family, my family, those that are out of fellowship could come back and enjoy worshiping the Lord a little bit. Listen, folks, we're in trouble in this country. We've got to get this thing lined out. I'm hoping and praying that we can get it done. I'm hoping and praying that we can do the things that are necessary to see people saved before it's too late. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.